solving life's mysteries one at a time.
Right? We're just kind of stumbling around in the wilderness.
I was going to say meandering through the lilacs.
Yeah, okay, that too.
Drifting meandering, through the meadow.
Stumbling, frolicking. I mean, just
frolicking in the day, meadow. Yeah.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Jeff, are you expressing yourself through song right now?
There's a definite possibility. There's a theme to today's show.
As you fill in for...
the third show today.
Clint, yeah.
We only have four.
Well, you know, if he hadn't put his life savings on UGA minus 59, of course, I think even if he had and they won, he probably wouldn't be here just for different reasons. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Jeff. I'm Aaron with you until 6 o'clock. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also weigh in through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. You know, I saw an interesting collection of stats today from Bill Connelly, ESPN. He's basically the most prominent face of, I would say, football analytics, or at least college football analytics, advanced stats, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Texas Tech under Joe McGuire and Wes Kittley, this program was very aggressive on fourth downs this season, right? Very aggressive on fourth down. So this probably will not surprise you, but the Red Raiders led the country in points scored on drives that featured at least one fourth down conversion. They scored 129 points this season on drives that included a fourth down conversion. And keep in mind, that's 129 points out of 445. So roughly a bit over a fourth of their total points this season were scored on drives that featured at least one fourth down conversion.
Well, I guess we should all remember that.
And
keep that in mind when a fourth down conversion doesn't go our way, that they helped us more than they hurt us this year.
Well, and that kind of goes to my next point, because there are probably some folks out there going, okay, well, that's nice, but how many times did their opponents benefit from a failed fourth down conversion, right? How many times did they go for it on, you know, their side of the 50 and get stuffed and their opponent marched down for a score?
Anecdotally, I would say that was some of that. That was the Baylor game. Just
Texas Tech opponents scored 44 points on drives that immediately followed a failed fourth down attempt by the Red Raiders. So you netted 85 points there just on the fourth down attempts.
And the key there is to then be situational about it in terms of those fourth down attempts, which obviously they were. They pay services and have ring binders full of stuff.
Texas Tech was one of the most aggressive teams in terms of fourth down, philosophies. He calls it his fourth down go percentage. I'm not going to go into like the math of it, but it goes into like fourth down attempts, fourth down defense, punts, field goal attempts, etc.
I thought he'd even talked about weather and things like that. I thought it played in like...
Oh, that'd be great if it did. Well, that'd be neat.
And I'm not saying that evaluation, but I thought the ring binder, the notebook, had like situational aspects to it in terms of
14. The thing that the coaches use.
On the sidelines, the service, the decision-making that led to what you're telling us about. But the idea that a 10-7 game in Ames when it's 16 degrees outside is treated differently than a home game against Texas where it's 28-28 or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that book is updated every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Baylor was number one, 47% in terms of the fourth down go percentage. Texas Tech was second in the country, 42. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I'm curious, do we think that they'll be that aggressive next year? Do you think that this will kind of ebb and flow depending on how talented they are on offense, right? How healthy they are, you know? Because you were toss-up games, a lot of 50-50 games. You could have lost the Texas game, the Houston game, the Iowa State game, the Oklahoma game.
Three overtime games at home.
Yeah, just as easily as you won them.
Sure.
But if you had Tyler Shook healthy the entire year, if you had some more speed on offense, which we think that you will have next year, if you felt better about your offensive line and your ability to kind of generate consistent yards on the ground, you know, if all of those things fall into place next year, and hopefully they do, knock on wood, are you going to be as aggressive? Right? Is the book, if you're married to the idea of, listen, we're all in analytics, we will do as the book commands, give or take, will the book be as aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Will that bake all that stuff in?
Yeah, it would be great to, you know, early in the year when we were going for it a lot, I remember us talking about, like, I wish we'd get more first downs and three downs instead of four. And remember early, like, the game at North Carolina State and some of those, I have to think through this, maybe Kansas State, you know, there was several of those games in which it was second and 10 or more, or maybe 11 or more, or something like that. There was a statistic that Coach McGuire talked about, which basically, hey, you know, we're not even getting 3 yards and getting to second and 7. We were doing second and 13s a lot early. And then the North Carolina State was a big game because I thought there was like a double-digit figure to that. You know, and so, you know, we weren't getting ahead of the chains early. I'm not even saying that to be, you know, being pithy here, but, you know, like, you know, a better offense is getting more first downs and generating what they need to generate in three downs. It doesn't mean there won't be fourth downs in there for sure. But yeah, and just the ability to have this O-line and some of these new faces. I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot to be excited about, man.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Mike, I missed the information on the Texas Rangers and Emily Jones. How do we go about purchasing tickets?
Sure. It's a $25 ticket. Don't you put your phone number or something in the text line or call the 771-0973. Jeff, can you write down a phone number or something if somebody calls?
I think I can find a pen.
All right, yeah. And then I'll get with you, call you. You know, leave an email address, something.
If you want to just type your phone number into the chat line, we can just not publish that for public consumption.
Okay.
And that way we can see it, Mike can see it, and that way you don't make a phone call.
Right, there you go.
And we can just kind of copy that over.
Yeah, so I forget about that publishing part.
So
yeah, and this thing,
it's Jeff and I won't publish everyone's phone numbers.
There you go. It's Tuesday, January 24th, and it's across the street at the Civic Center, noon to 1. $25 or a table of 8 for 300 or 500 or whatever. I have about a 6 or 8 minute conversation with Nathan Blackwood talking LCU baseball, probably 10 or 12 minutes with Coach Tadlock, and then Emily Jones is going to interview Josh Young.
Real subtle there, Jeff. I appreciate that. More Tech Talk next. Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Jeff. I'm Aaron. We're with you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Time for some headlines. Oklahoma State defensive coordinator Derek Mason announced today that he was taking a sabbatical from coaching in college after one season with the Cowboys. He has spent the last 30 consecutive seasons coaching football. He says he looks forward to spending some time with his family and will, quote, reflect on opportunities within the game I love, end quote. And so for the second consecutive offseason, Mike Gundy looking for a new defensive coordinator. We'll have the Lady Raider Basketball with Krista Gerlich show on the air for you tonight. Double T 97.3. Our coverage starts at 6. Lair from Rudy's Barbecue and Country Store off of Slide Road in the South Loop. Lady Raiders coming off of a loss to Oklahoma. Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, is headed to the Chicago Bears. He will be their new president and CEO. Warren had been with the Big Ten since June of 2019, but according to ESPN's Pete Thamel, he was recently not given an extension to his contract. The reporting is suggesting that the Big Ten CEO is just not super enthusiastic about his grand design for the Big Ten. Warren, a big proponent of further expansion, and the Big Ten CEOs, or at least a sizable faction within that group, are not so enthusiastic about that. You, too, can join the program. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if that's a historical footnote in the same way that, 10, 15 years ago, we were going, not ready for a Big 12 network, and now it seems like a horrendous decision. I guess Warren's plan, the one part of it that'll get activated, is the USC-UCLA expansion. And will there be more? Will they fail? Will this be regarded as a mistake 10 years from now? Will it be regarded as a missed opportunity for not adding Oregon and Washington? I mean, that'll be the test of all this, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be very interesting. It's for a conference like the Big Ten, for their commissioner to only be on the job for 3 years, give or take, it's kind of astounding, really. He'd been the commissioner of the Big Ten since 2020. He was named June 4th, 2019. Excuse me. So less than 4 years. And for him to kind of hightail it to the NFL, pretty interesting. And because if you do that job well, or at least just well enough, you could be Big Ten commissioner for 30 years.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, that's a lifetime type job if you do it at a base competency level. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to, bring in, Miami and North Carolina, come on. Like, you don't have to do anything drastic. If you just kind of keep the ship moving in the same direction and keep everything afloat, and I've run out of nautical analogies, then you're set for decades.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, think about just the 10 years that we've seen of some of these, Big 12, recent Big 12 commissioner, Sankey, those guys. I mean, those aren't little 4 to 5 year head coaching jobs and then move on. Those tend to be, like you said, if they're successful or content, those folks can age in those spots. And Warren, I think, was a Chicago kid that grew. I think he grew up in Chicago, and so I'm sure there's an aspect of this that's dream job. But
born in Phoenix.
Ooh. Where did I get Chicago?
His father played for the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, although this was well before Kevin was born. But Kevin Warren's father was the president of the Fiesta Bowl for a time. He went to Arizona State. He went to Penn in Pennsylvania and then to Grand Canyon University.
Yeah, I'm clearly incorrect on that. I don't know what exactly it was that led me to think that he had made a path. I knew the most notably the Minnesota Vikings tenure. So I guess I was painting with a really broad upper Midwest brush there.
Well, and his first job was in Kansas. He worked with the St. Louis Rams for several years in St. Louis, then Detroit, then back to Michigan. Back to Minnesota, rather. That's going to be a coveted job. Like that, the line for that those interviews will be out the door.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
for that deal.
That'll be interesting to see how they go about that, because I'm sure they'll take applications for that, but they may also have someone in mind, or I'm sure it'll be a full blown search, though. That won't just be somebody they hire next Tuesday.
You wonder too, like Warren was a bit of an outsider coming from the NFL.
Yeah, I'm
and was really pushing expansion, and took some heat for how he handled COVID. You wonder if they go opposite theory and bring in an insider type, sure. Whether it's a current Big Ten official or like Ohio State AD Gene Smith, someone like that.
Safety here.
He gets the Big Ten, or she gets the Big Ten.
Sure. No, I would be completely unsurprised if that happened for exactly that reason, that they're more or less pushing out the outsider, and the dude that was pushing them maybe a little quicker than they wanted to be, or a little harder than they wanted to be pushed.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says, best afternoon of music ever. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff is very motivated. He's very I appreciate this, Jeff. You're calling in to kind of pinch hit, and you've been here since 4:30 this morning. I think like anybody in that position, whether you're at a sports talk radio station or an accounting firm, whatever, you want to go home. So I appreciate you kind of putting your energies towards something to kind of keep you entertained for this next hour and a half.
And I'm not complaining. If offered, I would go home.
Yeah, no, you are doing, I would be very, very complainy.
It doesn't do me any good.
Yeah, into the microphone and also like when the microphone's off.
Yep.
This on the chat line. I have some meat judging news. The meat judging season just started. Per Gordon Davis, former meats judge and coach, and the man who brought the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, says they are the Stevie Wonder team, referencing that they are blind. LOL.
Oh.
So, wait, is Tech not good anymore?
I don't know. Doesn't seem like that would be a compliment. And I wonder if that's just early season, pushing these guys, although Gordo's not Dr. Davis. And that's the namesake of the College of Agriculture that they're talking about.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did you really not?
I had no idea.
Yeah, the biggest gift ever to
I know that Rawls is on the business college, and I know that that Fuller's on the petroleum engineering deal.
Yeah, the Gordon Davis gift for the naming rights to the College of Ag was the biggest in the history of Tech, like $40 million. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I called him Gordo. Then Gordon Davis was one of the people who but Gordo came to my doctoral. $44 million, January 19th, 2022. We're almost to the 1 year anniversary of that announcement of that gift. So, yeah.
Wouldn't you love?
Gordo was one of the community people that came to my dissertation defense.
Wouldn't you love to get to a point where you can, make a $40 million gift promise and not wake up in a cold sweat every subsequent morning going, what have I done?
Yeah, like you probably left yourself
some wiggle room.
Some retirement money or, yeah, paid off some things, stuff like that, yeah.
More Tech Talk next.
Have your opinion heard now on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or the DoubleT973 mobile app.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on DoubleT973 and DoubleT973.com with Gus and Jeff. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock, an hour and a half left. Love to hear your thoughts and comments today in the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. This in the chat line. Somebody says, Baylor game. Baylor had at least two fourth down attempts by Tech on Tech's side of the field that failed, and Baylor scored two touchdowns after each, and I'm not remembering Tech going for it on fourth on their side of the field, say 40-yard line down after that.
Yeah, that was my anecdotal reference. Somebody's remember it better than I did, but that was because we were in here on Monday and there was a lot of angst over that.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't a good game. It was probably the worst game.
It was a low point.
Yeah, it was the low point of the season.
Because at that point, so you were 4-5, right?
Yep. And, maybe. It was just the only game that really got away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really got away.
The only game that I attended. Because, of course.
Thanks a lot.
This on the chat line. I would argue that if you have better players, you should be just as or more aggressive. Your attempts may go down because you have fewer fourth down occurrences, but why would you be less aggressive with more talent?
Well, yeah, I think my interpretation of you saying that was just the idea that maybe there's either less of those opportunities or you don't need to go for it when you're up 21 from your own 30. I don't know. That was my interpretation of it, but
well, I think that here is how I would kind of defend that question, right? If you are just better on offense, if you have more big play ability, if you're able to generate more productive, consistent yards on the ground, and so to kind of go back to what you said, you're starting out 2nd and 6 more often than you are 2nd and 11. Mm-hmm. Then at that point, you feel better about generating points through drives. And so at that point, you're not sitting there kind of going in your head, okay, we've made two first downs in this drive. We're at midfield. It's 4th and 2. Does this represent one of our best scoring chances of the game, or can we punt the ball away and play defense and then get the ball back in decent field position and just kind of start over again? To me, the aggressiveness was a nod to the idea that you aren't just super dynamic on offense, especially with the quarterback injuries. You don't have a ground game that you can lean on. And so when you have an opportunity, when you have a drive going, you don't want to throw it away, and you want to try to keep that going as much as you can. Tracy in Dallas says this: Hey boys, love the fourth down talk and think it is a vital part of the offense. However, at least half of those fourth down conversions now reside in Houston. This on the chat line. Would Kirby be a candidate for the Big Ten job? I think Kirby Hokut is certainly one of the more prominent ADs in the country. Not the most prominent, but he is one of the more prominent ones. Not a lot of ties to that area. He would be kind of another almost outsider hire. I would think that if I'm the Big Ten, I could maybe, I mean, I don't say do better, but
be safer.
Yeah.
They could hire closer and within their maybe even within the room. But, I mean, you know, I don't think they're going to hire somebody from UCLA or USC, even though they're the new entries in the conference. I think this is going to be where they anchor into someone with a deep footprint in their conference, in their region, right? And I don't even know that they're – I'd be a little surprised if they go Kevin Yormark on this hire. I'm not suggesting they won't, but, you know – I don't know that they're going
to
go that far out of the box. Yeah, they don't need to, and I mean they're not up against the media rights thing right now. That's taken care of, and so it's you know if they come out in 2 months and hire the president at Michigan or somebody, you know, the AD at Ohio State or something, I am not going to be 1 ounce surprised by that.
I don't, if you're the Big Ten right now,
or the MAC commissioner, maybe that, you know,
you don't need someone to come in and upset the apple cart and try to reinvent the wheel and, you know, all these various metaphors and whatever. You just need to find a steady hand that knows the Big Ten and can kind of make some good decisions and read the room and do what the presidents want. I mean, you're set. You've got money rolling in. You just signed a new media deal. You don't need, like you said, you don't need anybody to come in and just like negotiate that for you. The presidents have made it pretty clear that they don't want further expansion, so that's not really on your plate. So really, all you have to do is make sure that the transition for USC and UCLA is fairly smooth, and then that's it. And then you can just kind of settle in for 5 or 6 years of easy going. Like,
don't,
you've got,
screw this up.
You've got the playoff contract coming up in a couple of years, and that will be kind of a big task, but this is not some kind of heavy lift here, and that's why I think that it's going to be such a coveted job, because again, you could get that job and stay there for decades. And to back to Hokut, I think Hokut would be a good commissioner somewhere.
I do too.
Right? Yeah. Whether it's, I mean, Big 12, whether it's Sun Belt, whether it's whatever it is, I think he has the mind for it. And certainly he has the national connections. Hopefully he's not going anywhere, but I just think that the Big Ten, as one of the two more frankly, the most prominent commissioner jobs in college football, probably not going to go down the list far enough to get to Kirby's name, if he's even interested. Raider 316, not a sports opinion, but the four-way stop at University and 130th Street is the worst in the city, state, and probably the nation. I defy you to name a worst one.
Well, I do. I know that I don't go through there a ton, but when I do go through there, probably around this time of day, those cars are lined up in all directions because there's a new school out there. I mean, there's a bunch going on now. And that's about to be involved in the 100, and I think that's about to be involved in some widening, at least with regard to the east-west part of it.
Yeah.
So some construction, and ultimately it's progress, but that's no consolation to our listener.
My least favorite intersection,
oh,
by far,
okay,
in this city.
Can we guess?
You'll never guess it.
Oh, wow.
98th Street and Avenue P.
Hang on. 98th and P.
So you exit 27, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right? You hang a right on 98th. You're going toward, you know, the bulk of the city.
It's still two lanes right there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Both sides.
Yeah.
And every single time, I always catch that light.
No.
Like, a car will just, like,
sees him coming.
Come over the hill on Avenue P, and bam, that light will turn.
Right.
And it's like, it's, you know, it's 6 o'clock, man. Like, there's the traffic on 98th is far superior, larger, more significant than the few people traveling north or south on Avenue P. There's no way that should be kind of given equal weight.
That, you know, it's funny you say that, because at about 98th, and I think this will be Milwaukee. Similar deal. You know, going south and north on there. And there have been times, you know, cruise control set 45 plus 2 miles an hour or whatever. Just, you know, and I'll sort of come over the hill and be like, oh, hey, light just turned green. It'll be, or excuse me, red. It'll be green by the time I get there. And then, you know, Aaron Dickens is a half mile ahead of me. He pulls up, light turns green. And I've seen that thing go green for like 2 seconds. You're like, you'll be, your rear end is under that light. And it's going, okay, got to get those east-west people kind of like, what's the, and so I, you know, there's.
It's like they got it mixed up.
Yeah, there's touch pads there or something that, you know, when you pull up, it'll flip your direction. But it's almost like a like a mechanical stop sign almost. Like everybody's going to be stopping here. We're just going to give you the quick green light through it. And you, because what you never see at either of these intersections is six cars lined up, you know, like in a like Indiana and 50th Street or whatever.
And 98th Street is already on my bleep list because they knocked the speed limit down to 45.
Hell yeah.
I mean, what are we doing, man?
Keep your chin up, pal.
More Tech Talk next.
Solving life's mysteries one at a time.
Beep, 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 beep.
Arnold Palmer alert. Arnold Palmer alert. Who wants some Arnie Palmies?
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? Thank you for spending part of your Thursday with us, with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Jeff McGuire. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. We'll get this in the chat line. This is a first, Gus. Somebody says, had to take a call and mute y'all on TV. AD resembles Mussolini with his hand gestures, just now realized. So, wow, that's... I'm not really sure how to take that. I don't think that's a compliment.
I don't know. He was a world leader for a while.
Yeah, I mean, one, a bad one.
He didn't say it was a good one,
and number
but he was
two,
one.
He was like hung in public, like naked. You know, the ending was not great for him.
So you've got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
But you still had all that power for a while.
How about this?
We enjoy have, it.
For the second.
Flex it, bro.
For the second day in a row, we have a major college football bit of hiring news. Ah. Of course, yesterday it was major because it was Texas Tech involved. Now it's major because it's, you know, it benefits Texas Tech, and it's also, I would say, making big news across the country. So Clemson fired its offensive coordinator today.
QB coach / offensive coordinator.
They were abysmal on offense. They were way worse than they had any business being, considering the conference that they play in and the amount of talent that they've accumulated through recruiting at quarterback and receiver. And who have the Tigers hired? Not just targeted. It's being reported that this is done.
This is
done, dusted, wrapped up, official, pretty much.
This is a ninja move. Mr. Riley at TCU.
Garrett Riley. How about that?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's fascinating and not shocking because you said it. When a team blows up like that, the you know, people start sniffing around saying, hey, we want what they've got. And I'm sure the last name doesn't hurt at all. I mean, Garrett Riley's probably on a fast track to being a head coach, but that's that's interesting to see. Lots of movement around this conference for sure. I mean, think about it. Over the last few days, we've talked about, Tech, OU, Baylor, TCU. Prominent coaching spots, I guess. Now maybe ours was the – maybe out of all of that, we are – us and OU are among the best situated.
What do you mean?
Well, just in terms of who we were able to replace with. I mean, OU's probably happy with Emmett Jones, and we're certainly happy with Juice.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
Riley departs after spending the last three seasons with Sonny Dykes, two at SMU, obviously this last season at TCU. It'll be interesting to see who Dykes targets for his vacancy. I think he probably, not expected, but has thought it over in his head, because Garrett was targeted by A&M earlier in the offseason. Now, you know, he turned the Aggies down. That's been widely reported. That's why the Aggies kind of settled for Petrino. But what direction does Dykes turn to, right? That will be very interesting.
Oh, sure. Do they take that from within? I mean, because Sonny himself is, his background is offensive. So I'm not suggesting that he's going to jump in there and start calling plays, but he's, he's probably got a nice little Rolodex as well, especially coming off of the year that they've just had. There's going to be some folks taking his phone call.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some cachet there that maybe wasn't there this time 12 months ago. Not that, I mean, Sonny Dykes has coached at La Tech. He's coached at Cal. He was, he worked under Patterson at TCU for a bit as kind of an analyst type. He was a coach at SMU. I mean, his Rolodex is just fine. Will he stick with the air raid? Will he go in another direction? Really, really interesting. Because, I mean, this is the big test here for Dykes. It's when you start losing people, can you replace them with equally talented or even better people? We talked about Mike Gundy earlier in the show. And while things might be trending down now for Gundy and that program, for the longest time, for 15-plus years, When Holgorsen left, he replaced him with someone good. I think it was Munkin, actually, who doing okay at Georgia. Sure. When Glenn Spencer needed to be replaced, or what was the old guy from Bill Young, right?
Oh, yeah.
Again, roll through the coordinators over the years. Jim Knowles, who was a Broyles winner, I think, last year. And then Derek Mason this year, while the results weren't great, certainly that was a big hire. Can Dykes do that? I don't know that he was really at any place long enough.
Yeah, that's a good point, to really turn it over like that.
If you go back and look at, did you know that his first name is Daniel? I didn't know that.
I don't know that I knew that. Uh-uh.
He was at La Tech for three seasons.
Right. And that's not long enough. Not to say there wasn't a change.
But he was at Cal for four.
Yeah, none of that's long enough to see it play
SMU
out.
For four. Not really. He made an offensive coordinator change, I guess, at SMU, because Riley was there in 2020 and 2021. This is the test.
Yeah, sure.
Can Dykes sustain it? And I'm not saying that I doubt him. I'm just saying this is when we kind of start to see the proof in the pudding, so to speak. This on the chat line. Does TCU at least kick the tires on Cliff? I don't know. Why would Cliff go back to college as an offensive coordinator when he could probably be an offensive coordinator in the NFL?
Well, isn't Bama still looking for an offensive coordinator?
Did Bill O'Brien get fired?
As I say that, I think it was sort of I think that was in the context of a next man up kind of thing. Like, O'Brien, this might be the year that O'Brien moves. But I'm just saying, Cliff would fit. If Cliff was going back somewhere, it would be Alabama OC if he was going back to college, because
he could go to Alabama and not recruit a second, and exactly, they would be just fine.
That's exactly where I'm going with that, as opposed, because it also sort of falls in the Saban Belichick tree and all that stuff. But I'm with you. If he's sitting out, you know, if he sits out, he sits out. But if he goes somewhere, I just can't believe he leaves the NFL. Last night on Hard Knocks, which the last episode aired last night, and I was watching last week's episode, so I recorded last night, so a week behind. But they showed him, you know, J.J. Watt retired in this episode, and I can't remember the context of it, but they showed him sitting at his desk watching Texas Tech Red Raiders bowl game. And they even zoomed in on the Texas Tech on the screen because it was like the, yeah, and you know, and Cliff's sitting there kind of with a remote, and then he turns to talk to the camera. Yeah, when you're head coach, you know, college deal, you got this and that and blah, 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 and, you know, recruiting. And I mean, and he was just talking about, you know, the things I really like doing are playing, coaching offense, coaching quarterbacks, play calling, all that. And he goes, there's plenty that goes into, you know, and it was just everything that we've talked about with regard to, you know, and Cliff was very candid about all of that, like once he moved to the NFL.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah. And so he talked about preferring to stay in the NFL, or he was alluding to that last night on that clip. And I thought, man, that is everything we've been told. And that was pre-firing, obviously.
More Tech Talk next.
Solving life's mysteries one at a time.
How big's the baggage?
It's my wife on a 3-day trip big. Like, it's gigantic.
Nice.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Jeff McGuire. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining us today from the First United Bank Double T 97.3 studio. Here with you until 6. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Just to reset, if you're just now getting off of work or getting into your car, some fairly big Big 12 coaching news developing in the last 30 minutes. Garrett Riley, the offensive coordinator of the TCU Horned Frogs, is set to be hired to run the offense at Clemson. So Sonny Dykes, just a few days after getting obliterated by Georgia in the national championship game, now has to fill a pretty important vacancy on his staff. We'll see what direction he goes in. Somebody on the chat line has predicted that Chad Morris will get hired at TCU, and there's some synergy there because Chandler Morris is at TCU. He was the week one starter for TCU before injuring his knee, and so that would be kind of a father and son deal. I think that Chad Morris is currently like an analyst at USF. I don't know that that would be just some kind of like super sexy hire, and Morris's results have not been great since he left SMU. He was abysmal at Arkansas, but
and that was as a head coach.
As a head coach, right?
I mean, he was the
very
head coach.
Successful as an OC at Clemson for a long time.
Right, sure. Right. And he was the head coach that left SMU to create the opening that Sonny Dykes stepped into, right? But also a guy, Morris, is also with high school roots, a Texas sure. high school roots.
Well, heck, he was
Austin Westlake. Is that right?
I think Lake Travis.
Ah, there you go.
I think.
I get those confused.
Yeah, he was at Lake Travis, also at Stephenville for a time. And then he started Tulsa, Clemson, mm-hmm. head coach at SMU, head coach at Arkansas. He was the OC at Auburn for a year, and then he went back to high school. He was the head coach at Allen for one season in 2021 before moving over to USF. You know,
wow, that's interesting. I totally missed that Allen deal.
I follow. Listen, I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. People know this. This is not new. Oh. And so I follow this guy on Twitter named Umberto Gonzalez, I think. And, you know, he's relatively well known for breaking a lot of stories about, like, Marvel movies and, you know, comic stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Real kind of geek crap. And so he sends out a tweet earlier. I've got a major, first major weird scoop of 2023 coming out. And so I'm like, high alert. I'm posted up on my phone. Here it is. Headline. Michael Bay charged with killing a pigeon in Italy denies allegations. Apparently there was a pigeon that may have died in 2018 on the set of the Netflix blockbuster Six Underground.
I was just saying that there's gotta
a pigeon?
Be a, there's gotta be a sound effect for that.
You should get a medal for killing a pigeon. What are you talking about?
They're all government drones anyway, right? Little government drones flying around, landing on the power lines to get recharged.
Birds aren't real, man.
Surveilling us.
According to an insider with knowledge of the production, a homing pigeon was allegedly killed by a dolly in the middle of a take in Rome. An unnamed individual who happened to be on set apparently witnessed the incident, took a picture, and reported it to Italian authorities. Can you imagine calling the police and go, yes, I'd like to report a murder, please, of a pigeon.
I kind of want to be a police officer on that call. I'm sorry, what?
Really?
A murder of a pigeon. Yeah, can I get the address, please? Yeah, okay. We'll be right there.
Yeah,
get right out.
On the way. Just sit tight.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars. this on the chat line. Riley leaving TCU and turning down A&M, screwing both of them, warms my Red Raider cockles.
Well, the other guy that turned down A&M is Coach Kittley.
It's true. How about that?
Our offensive coordinator.
How about that?
Yeah. And A&M, Mississippi State, North Carolina. It's a pretty good list of suitors that he had. A bunch of, I assume all those callers came post. I don't know. Did they come post bowl game? Or maybe in the lead up to the bowl?
I would probably think lead up, but I'm not sure.
I would think so too. But yeah, regardless, that's a pretty good list of So and those extensions have been announced, isn't that right, coordinator?
I have not seen anything official on extensions. I have requested contract information.
Have you really?
Through open records requests, but that process takes...
So you're not just being sarcastic like you legit have?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look at my man AD over here.
Oh, man, it's the easiest thing. Like, it okay. You send an email to an email address and say, hey, can I have these, please? And magically in, like, you know, 10 days, you have
them. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I just give out that email address. We can all do that. Do you do that because you're media? I mean, I know you do that, but is that like anybody can do that?
Well, I think the whole purpose of the open records thing is for anybody. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I know it's mostly media that does it, but yeah, interesting. Well, I'm sure they don't get any crazy emails at that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Cody asks this, what is an Italian Karen called? Yeah, that's a good, that's a great point. Can you imagine if you're Michael Bay, right? You're this world famous director of all these different movies, and you're having to like fend off some kind of like felony charge in Italy over a stupid bird. Like, it's not like he was in some neighborhood and slit some peacock's throat,
right? Doing
some, you know, yeah. Or like killed some beloved family parrot in front of their kids. Or, you know, set a bunch of chickens on fire for a movie stunt. Like, there was a bird flying around and it got killed. Like, that happens every day everywhere.
The only thing I may give them in this argument is that if this was supposed to be handled in civil court and they couldn't come to agreement, so he's getting charges filed to get that to go through faster. If this was an expensive carrier pigeon, like a trained... actual carrier pigeon.
Yeah, that would that's a good point. But
now I'm not defending it. But if
yeah,
that's
like a
where
trained
the,
racing. Yeah. Yeah,
Michael Bay is 57 years old, so by no means
so Gus's age almost.
By no means is he an old man. But
yeah,
I mean, couldn't you just go, you know what? Bleep it. I'm just not going to go to Italy ever again. I'm fine. They're not going to extradite you for a pigeon death, I'm sure. Now, would that mean that all of Europe is off limits because of the EU? Would you be in trouble if you went to, you can go to England, obviously, now. Thanks, Brexit. But if you popped up in Paris, would you be?
See, that's why he has all the money. He can hire the lawyer to tell him that answer.
Jeez, what a dumb, dumb thing. This in the chat line, what about Randy Johnson's 99-mile-an-hour fastball?
Oh, Peter pigeon went after him hard.
That essentially blew it. And like,
but, I mean, that's like,
two, well, one, it's not like surprised, and two, what are they expecting? I mean, no, he aimed for it.
That's exactly it. It's like the dude was throwing a pitch, man. It's not like he was standing out in the outfield going, hey, watch this. I'm going to fire a ball into that gaggle of birds. Like he's,
More tech talk next.